Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. We have a very interesting story for you today. I was reading an article over the weekend, and it was about these twin girls who were from the country of Georgia, and they had seen each other on social media. They did not grow up together. Saw each other on social media like, wow, this person looks exactly like me. Then they finally met, and they are getting DNA tests done because it turns out that there has been decades, really over 50 years of, I guess we would call it child trafficking, but baby trafficking. Parents are having children that wonderful day that you have your baby in the hospital, and they take the babies away and they come back in and they say, we're so sorry, but you lost your baby. The baby didn't live. And they send these parents home, but they're really selling the baby. And I think it was so shocking to me because as a mom of twins myself, not only am I a mom of twins, but I actually lost a baby. So I gave birth to a stillborn baby at 18 weeks. And even then, you know, we held the baby. We said goodbye to the baby. We knew we had lost the baby. I know that feeling of loss and leaving the hospital knowing that baby's not coming home with me. You know, I grew this baby, I loved this baby, and the baby is gone. Imagine that happening, but the baby wasn't really gone. You were lied to. I read this and I couldn't believe it because it sounds like something that you hear about that happened centuries ago, right? But this is happening now. People are still finding out that they have parents out there somewhere that they've never met. And so I read this story and we searched for one of the women who is working as an activist on this right now. And she so graciously agreed to join us today. So I am so excited about having her here on the podcast. Her name is Tamuna Muzurisi. And I am so glad that she's with me. Tamuna, you have actually experienced this yourself. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Hello again. I'm very grateful for you because you're interested in this and in these tales. And so me and all those mothers and children who are seeking and looking for each other are so grateful. I am searching for my biological parents. I was sold from the maternity house legally, and there are no my adoption documents. They don't exist. I was written straight as my adopted parents' biological child, like others, hundreds of thousands of Georgian people.
So how did you find out? We talked about the twins that realized, yes. And then it seems like they went home and their parents said, oh, actually, you were adopted, and perhaps you actually are twins. How did you find out that you were adopted?
Unfortunately, in Georgia and in my country, it's kind of quite shame to say, to tell the baby that you have adopted him or her. And the parents are trying to hide this from children. And even if the child finds out the truth, they are trying to lie and not tell the truth. Unfortunately, my parents haven't told me the truth, and I found out after my parents died. When my mother died 1 month later, I was arranging just her some documents, and I found my second birth certificate, and it was written the same date, but there was written another month. So I went to the justice house to find out the truth and to know what was happening. And they said that they couldn't find the documents saying that my mother gave birth to me. And they asked me to go to the maternity house and take the document from there. I went to the maternity house, wrote down the document and asked them to give me the document. And in 2 days, they wrote to me that my mother hasn't given birth in 1984, and that's how I found out. But I couldn't still believe that I was adopted, because I was raised in such a great family, and I could never even imagine that I was adopted. So I started calling my relatives, my parents' friends, my neighbors, and they became so aggressive to me. They started saying that I was acting very bad, because I was ungrateful, because I was looking for someone who has sold me, who has left me, and they didn't want to talk about this.
Wow.
Yes. And after 2 or 3 months, I called my mother's best friend's daughter. I told her that I knew everything, but I lied. And I asked her to tell me the truth. And well, she said that everybody knows that I was adopted. But unfortunately, no one knows who my biological parents are. Then I called my godmother and my father's sister, my aunt, and asked them for help. And they both said that they were those persons who went to the maternity house and who had bought the baby. But they are saying that they don't remember the exact date, and they don't remember name or surname of my biological mother.
And they probably really never knew, because why would they keep that record? Because in some cases, the government was actually involved in this, correct?
Yes, correct. But I'm not sure that they didn't know, because it's unbelievable that two women went to the hospital, to maternity house, to buy the baby, and they never asked about the surname, about the name, about the, and they don't remember the birthday of the child. It's unbelievable. I don't know why they are not telling me the truth, because they both are telling me the different stories, but I think that they are hiding something.
So they're telling you different stories.
Yes.
It's interesting. So you believe that they do know this?
Yes.
Obviously in the United States, we are very open with adoptions. My sister-in-law was adopted, and she knew from the time she was very little, you know, they always told her that she was adopted. And then she also knew her birth parents. So this, I think for people in the United States, they're like, wow, this seems like something that happened decades ago, but this is happening. I mean, this is you know, people as young as born in 2005 that this has happened to. So you talked about this being kind of a shame situation.
Yes.
Is it because, if you there was shame involved with not being able to conceive?
Those people who have adopted children abroad, they are not ashamed of saying the truth, because they have not stolen children. And they are sure that they have adopted children legally, but you can't even imagine the numbers of children who are sold in USA from Georgia and in Canada. And now those people, those adopted parents, are calling us from USA, and they are asking us for help, because all these years they were thinking that they have adopted children in USA legally, and that those children were left in the maternity houses by their parents' permission. But now, 2 years ago, we found out that those children also are sold illegally in USA because those parents had the birth certificates, the adoption documents, but now they found out that all these documents are fake.
Oh my. Okay. Yes. So to me, this is very interesting because in the United States, it can be challenging to adopt. And so I know that a lot of times people go outside of the United States to adopt children.
Yes.
In fact, I mean, we have a story here, and one of our friends adopted a baby from Russia, went to and
yes.
got all of the pictures ahead of time and got to Russia. She was adopting this beautiful little girl, got to Russia, and it was a little boy. And they were like, well, you're here now, take him. So there's all kinds of confusions and challenges that come along with international adoptions. But this is one that I had not heard. And so just so we're clear, the folks who were adopting babies and afraid that they might be seen as just buying a stolen baby, it was a lot of money that they were paying for children.
Yes. They were paying from $20,000 to $30,000.
And that's still
in 1990s. In 1990s, imagine it's very
whoa. Yes. In the 1990s,
yes, and they were adopting those children from Russia because they couldn't get in Georgia, and that's why those people, Georgians, were they were taking those children to Russia. And then the adopted parents from USA were going to Russia and adopting children from there. But they couldn't even imagine that those people were making false documents in Georgia.
No. I mean, you wouldn't. And I think as a parent, when you want to be a parent, you so desperately want to be a parent that you don't want to think about the details.
Yes.
And so from that standpoint, I think our hearts can go out to the birth mothers and the mothers who think or want to believe they are legitimately adopting a baby that has been given up.
Yes.
How many children do you think are involved in this? And I mean adult children who are now finding out. How many people have probably been adopted out that were stolen from their families?
Thousands.
Ugh.
Hundreds and thousands.
So yes. How do you connect? I mean, the story that I recently saw, and one of the other stories is that the girl saw the other twin on TikTok because she was like in some Georgia talent competition and people were calling the family and saying, why is she using a different name? And the girl's like, that's not me, but that looks exactly like me.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
They were adopted in different regions of Georgia. One family knew that their daughter had the twin sister, but they knew that the twin sister died in the maternity house. So they didn't know that she was alive, and they took this baby to Tbilisi, capital of Georgia, and the another girl was adopted in another region. And both of those families knew different surnames of biological parents. So they both were told the lies. And they both were told the different dates of their child's birth so that they could never find each other. But the first time it was Georgia's Got Talent, when they saw the child, they wanted to contact them, the family, but they didn't because they didn't know if the child knew the truth. So mm-hmm. they didn't want the other family to get some problem. And that's why they didn't make anything. And after that, 4 or 5 years later, one of the twin sisters made the piercing here on the eyebrow, and the piercer put the video on TikTok. And the another girl just saw the video, and she was shocked, and she just started joking, and she started sending this video to her friends. They had the big chat of the university group, and she sent this video in this group and asked if these people liked her piercing. And there was one girl who said, this isn't you, this is my friend. And I was with her when she was making this piercing. And then she asked for her phone number and for her Facebook account to find her. And she wrote to her that I have been looking for you for so long. And another one said, yes, me too.
Oh my gosh, that is so, I mean, and you think about how If that can happen with one family, with two girls on social media, how many people are really out there that just aren't on social media, you know?
Yes.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Have any of these people been able to connect with their biological parents?
For the 3 years, we have found more than 700 families, and we have reunited 700 families.
But wow.
But unfortunately, the government isn't helping us because all those mothers were told that these children died and that those children were buried in a maternity house cemetery, but there has never been the cemetery of the maternity house. And these children are looking for their parents, but most of the parents are not, because they don't know that those children are alive. So nowadays, after this, our group and all the steel programs, they started going to the maternity houses to see the birth and death certificate of their children and to Justice House. And now they realize that they were actually being told lies, and they are now looking for their children. But they don't have documents. So some of their mothers are not even written in the documents, as if they have never given the birth to the children. So the first step from the government is that they must say that there have never been the cemetery, and that all those children are not dead, and they all are alive, so that the mothers will bang. I don't know if I have the right to say the name of these DNA kits. We're buying it from different sites. We're making these DNA kits and sending back to USA. And now, 1 week ago, the Georgian government at last said that they are going to make the DNA database in Georgia.
They have said that.
Yes, 1 week ago.
Oh, my goodness, how amazing. So
yes.
I've even read a story about one woman who had clearly told her story to her remaining children, the children that lived with her. So she had had children since and had told those children, you know, I lost a baby. And now those children are in some cases saying they're searching for their sibling. And so I think that it's interesting to me, because even those generations who may not be on social media, it's like, their children are the ones going, maybe you didn't lose the baby. Maybe the baby was stolen from you.
Yes.
Have you seen a lot of that?
Yes, of course. And besides that, you know, by the Georgian law, the adopted child doesn't have the right to get information about his adoption. If the adoptive parents don't give the permission, it doesn't matter how old you are, you don't have the right to know your surname and your birth date. And yesterday, the Georgian government said that they will allow everyone to find out the real birth date, but not surname yet. But we will achieve it soon, very soon.
It's funny because a friend of mine had adopted from Russia and want two different children at different times. And the one child, they gave all of the information about the family. And the child actually is special needs. So she doesn't fully, you know, she's kind of like a teenager that is the mindset of a 3-year-old still. So she's not necessarily in the mindset of searching for her birth parents, but the other child doesn't have any special needs. And they sent him with no information. So he doesn't have any information. And he says to the mom, you know, I just don't understand why I can't know anything about my birth family. And it just makes you wonder if there's a situation like this.
No one knows.
So were these families, the women who ended up giving birth, was there like a generally women that were lower income or single moms?
No. Don't think that those mothers had some problems with money or with income or with husbands. No, it didn't matter which family you were from, because we have the families, for example, the judge's wife, the judge's daughters-in-law, and those, even the businessman's wife. So it didn't really matter whose wife or daughter you were.
So it was just an operation of stealing babies, no matter who.
Yes, of course, because they had the information that they needed the child before the women entered the maternity house. So they already knew which woman they would choose. So they already knew which mother would they choose.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this wasn't just one maternity house, though.
No.
This, you're talking about this happening across the country, correct?
Yes.
How does something happen like this? How does it become? Because I think about, and I have to tell you that my mind, of course, thinks about this the way things are in the U.S. So I need you to explain this a little bit, because, you know, we go into the hospital and it would be very hard with safety protocols and all of that for nurses to get babies out. Was the whole hospital involved? And if this happened in more than one maternity house, was this a gang across the country? Were they intertwined or were they separate?
This was happening in all the Georgia's maternity houses, and this was systemic. We don't know exactly when it started, but we exactly know that it ended in 2006 or 2007, perhaps, because before that we didn't have the Justice House. And there were too many people involved in this, from the taxi drivers who were taking the babies from maternity house to the another house.
Gosh.
There were nannies with whom those children were living before they were sold. They were the lawyers, the notaries, the judges who were writing down the documents. Also the people from government, because it's not so easy to take the child abroad. So this was a big scale.
So who was getting the money for this?
Well, as I know from my relatives and from, well, the mothers who have brought the babies, they were giving the money to the person who were arranging the documents. But we don't exactly know how they were separating this money.
So how often would it be that someone would come in and they would lose their baby? Because I just think, gosh, there would be a certain point where you would say, wow, the fetal death rate is really high. Why are so many babies not coming out of this maternity house? Why? I mean, I guess you talk about the Justice House. So for us, it seems so hard to understand. But was there just no ability, no recourse, no ability to bring in law enforcement and say, how is this happening?
You know, I was born in 1984 and I went to the Justice House a few months ago and I asked for the death certificates for all the children who were born and died in 1984. In Georgia, the death certificate is published in 1984. 1,500 children had died in Georgia. It's unbelievable numbers. It's unbelievable that in Georgia, 1,500 child had died in 10 months.
How? What is the population of Georgia?
Well, now it's more than 3 million.
Oh my goodness. But I mean, that's like a third of the size of the state of Michigan. So
yes,
I can't imagine 1,000 babies dying in 10 months and people not going, you know, this is a real problem. It's just unheard of.
Yes, you know, even today by the Georgian's law, if you go to the child care's house and you want to adopt the baby, you will have to wait for 10 or 15 years because there are no left children in the child care's houses. So because of this situation, the adopted parents had to go against the law.
What your goal is to get the word out. And I appreciate you coming on here because you believe that there are children potentially all over the Western world that have come from Georgia and potentially could be reunited with their biological parents if they can be connected. You have a group on Facebook. Tell us about that.
We made this group 3 years ago and to talk anonymously about our problems, but then there appeared a boy who wrote in our group that he was looking for his birth mother, and his adopted mother told him that he didn't know the name and surname of the biological mother, but she knew the doctor's name and surname. So this boy with his wife went to the doctor and asked for help. At first, she refused and she said that she didn't know the truth, but this boy's wife said that she would put her photos and information in the Facebook and would write down that she was selling the babies. So because this woman is very well-known woman in Georgia and her family is also very popular in Georgia, this was the only reason why she said the truth, because she didn't want the truth to come out. And she said that my goddaughter was pregnant and she didn't have the husband, and I was sure that she would leave the baby in the maternity house, and that's why I told her that the boy died in the maternity house and I sold the boy to my another friend. She told her daughter-in-law's name and surname. We went to her house. And she was so confused. At first, she started screaming and yelling at us and said that we were some sick people who were just saying something terrible and that her godmother could never do this to her. But after 1 month of praying and begging and asking, she made DNA tests with her son, and the answer was positive. And you can't even imagine her reaction, how she was crying, she was screaming, she was roaring, she was making such voices. She could never imagine that the woman who was her mother's best friend, her godmother, could do this to her. And now, you know, in Georgia, it's a very small country and everyone is everyone's friend or father's friend or relative's friend. And that's why those mothers don't believe that those people could ever do this to them. But, well, we have the same situation.
Oh my goodness, these stories. So this Facebook page, is it VedZeb?
VedZeb. I'm searching.
I'm searching. And this is where people can go to this group if they think. And then
yes.
And do yes. parents and children go to this group?
Yes.
Have you ever?
Yes. Yes, it's public group, and both parents, also sister, brothers and children who are writing their stories. And then if something matches, we're trying to connect them to each other. But besides that, the group is also so big that people sometimes don't even ask for our help because they're writing straight their information, and some people are writing to them.
And so then you actually have an attorney. You have a human rights lawyer that works with you. So if somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you help us? You can do that.
Yeah, sure. Yes. And everything is free. We don't take the money, and also we are not getting paid. So we're making this just because we all are going through this. Me and my girls also are searching. Some of them are searching for their parents, some of them for sisters, brothers who are stolen in the maternity houses.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
You said the youngest would be about 2006, 2007 is when this, and how do you know that this ended for sure?
We don't know. But, you know, we are not taking cases in which the children are not 18 years old yet, because we don't have the right to talk to those children, and we don't want those children to have some problem and for their parents to have problems too. But in 2 years, we will start searching.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it. My oldest was born in 2009, and I just think, gosh, to find this out or to question this, the idea of seeing your twin on social media. Again, my youngest, they're 10 and they're twins. And there's just this special bond. And it almost, you just almost feel like that's a God thing, that they would find each other that way, because twins just should be together.
Yes, because they feel each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And our twins, Amy and Taco, were feeling each other. They knew that there was someone who was missing for them.
I mean, that is the part that I think is, I think you always have that longing for family. It's just something innate inside of you, but there is something special about twins. And what a neat way for this to kind of become a national or a global story, something that people are really seeing and going, wow, we've got to get these families back together because there's something inside of us that just automatically says you have to know your family. And that's not to say that your adopted family is not your family, but there are people out there that you still need to know.
Yes, of course. Well, my parents, my adopted parents are, of course, my number one parents, and I'm so grateful for them. And I love them more than I can't even imagine that I can love other parents more than them. But everyone deserves the truth, and everyone deserves to know their surname, and everyone deserves to know their birthday.
Absolutely. So is there any way, do you have a website or anything where people can help out if they wanted to, or how can people find you?
They can find us on Facebook group.
Okay.
It's in purple, black and purple. It's written I'm searching. And some of the people made the fake groups like us, but there are more than 200,000 people, and that's how they will find us.
Wonderful. It's been so nice talking to you.
Thank
Tamunda
Museridze.
Let me just make sure I get this right. Tamuna Museridze.
Yes.
All right. Oh my gosh. I'm so glad that you came on. And honestly, this is something that I think that we, having an adopted sister-in-law, I know the importance of feeling like you just need to know the person. And I just wanted to share your story because I thought as I was reading through it and I'm seeing that, you know, Americans, Canadians, people in other countries have purchased these children believing that they were having a full adoption. And to find out that there's a family out there that may not be searching because they think that the child is gone, but could be reconnected. What a powerful story. So thank you so much for sharing with
thank
us.
Thank you.
Yes. So we so appreciate it. And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon podcast. As always, for this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon podcast. Have a blessed day.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.